Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look to the readings for the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we begin with the second book of Kings, chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits and the fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. You know the parallel to this in the New Testament where Jesus multiplied the loaves. Again, he was showing them what the Old Testament prophets and writers had said. They were giving all kinds of signs of the Messiah, what he would be like, what he would do. For thousands of years, they cried out. And this is one such reading from the book of Kings, where we see that the Lord God was able to do here, even in the Old Testament, to feed and make food available for many, many, many people. God can do all things. He can do all things. And to the degree that we put all our faith in him, he will produce far more than you could ever imagine. It might not be food or drink, though it could be, but he might supply wisdom or understanding. He might supply all kinds of good things that help us to increase in virtue, and we in turn then become signs of his presence to others. This world, brothers and sisters, is so looking for signs, and yet it rejects the greatest sign of all, the coming of the Messiah in the flesh. People did that in the Old Testament. People did that in the New Testament. Don't be like them. Don't give in. Don't say, I don't believe any of this. There is no God. If there is, why did he let this happen? Or why did he let that happen? There is no God. And we, human beings, with our puny minds, decide to judge what makes God God. And if God doesn't do what we think he should do, then there is no God. That's arrogance. That's pride of the highest sort. And it takes a lot of grace to acknowledge that and to yield. But that's what needs to happen. Because when we yield, as I said the other day, the scales fall from our eyes and our ears become unstopped and we see and we hear differently. How captured are you by the environment around you? Are you a light in the darkness or not? Is your light dim or has it gone out? Or have you just not turned it on because you forgot? Above all and before everything, you are a Christian. You are Catholic. That's the strongest definition or the strongest label that you should keep right in front of you all the time. To use that simple phrase, what would God do? What would God say? And yield yourself to God quietly for a few moments before you speak or do would effect more good than the greatest sermon ever preached. Really. To reach one soul for Christ is worth your life. Do you seek for souls? Do you hunger and thirst for souls? God wants to enable you to share in his heart, in his priorities. That's why reading the scripture is so important, that you take on God's agenda. How many times have I said that? But I say it again and again until it breaks through the darkness in us. We don't think we're in darkness. We think we see perfectly. But oftentimes we do not see life from a Christian perspective. We need glasses. Sometimes we need very major corrections in our glasses. Sometimes we just need to open our eyes. What is God about? How is God working in the world today? What is He doing? How do I cooperate with that? Do you pray for the Pope every day? Do you pray for the bishop of your diocese every day? Do you pray for your pastor every day? You need to be. Doesn't have to be long prayers, but every day offering something for the intentions of those who have some authority in our lives. That they be good shepherds. Shepherds after God's own heart. Pray for them. We complain a lot about our pastors. How often do we pray? How much do we pray? The more you pray, the more you take on God's heart. That's when you really know how to pray. And there will be fruit. Take a look at the people you complain about most. Ask God to turn that around, that you would pray for them. Because as you pray for them, He will give you an understanding of how He sees that person and how you can help that person. It's not your own ideas. God will show you. You pray. That's your part. And God will use you. To be a true Christian is an exciting adventure every day. You never know what God's going to ask of you or show you, reveal to you. Know that God wants to interact with you every day by the power of His Spirit. God wants to reach through you to bring freedom and salvation to many. Open your heart. Please open your heart. Let God do in you what He wants to do. The responsorial psalm, "The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs." You can say, well, He hasn't answered this need. Maybe it's because it isn't really what you need, or maybe simply the answer is not yet. Have you ever considered that? Maybe what you're asking for that you think you want or need is what God wants for you. And what God wants for you is far better than what we want for ourselves because we're so short-sighted. We're deaf. Really, just adjust the way you see life in those respects that I'm speaking about here, and life will be very different. Really. From Paul to the Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. "Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received." That's what I'm talking about. "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body, one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." There is but one body. There is ultimately but one family in Christ. Are you a part of it? By baptism, you are baptized into it. Do you live in it? Do you live in it? Do you know who you really are? Or have the values and the standards and the goals of this world consumed you? Have you become deaf? Have you become blind? Or at least very short-sighted? Really, brothers and sisters, really, take a long look at this, because God needs you in the world today, and you even more need Him. And the gospel for this Sunday is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. "Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed Him because they saw the signs He was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. Notice here, just a verse back, Jesus went up on the mountain. Jesus always went up on the mountain to pray. He wanted to get away. Not that he hated the people, not at all. But he wanted to get away to be in communion with God, so that his Father, so that he knew what to say to the people. Every day, it says, he went apart for a while. He went up in the mountain. He got into a boat and went to the other side. All those things are his attempt to draw away from the people, not because he disliked them, but because he wanted to commune with his Father. See how important daily prayer is. Do you think you can do it differently than Jesus? Take a look at the scriptures. Take a look at the gospels and see how many times Jesus went aside. He went off with his disciples. He went up the mountain to pray, etc., etc. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat down with his disciples. And the Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" Notice, Jesus wanted to pray. What is he concerned about now? They don't have enough food. Always looking out for others. Do you? He said this to test him because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What good are those for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." So you see all along here, yeah, well, we have this, but that's not enough, or this is not good enough, or we can't do this. That's the attitude of the earthly man or woman. You look around at your own meager resources and you don't have it, and so you give up. But Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. We're talking thousands of people, brothers and sisters. And when they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. And when the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. These are poor people. They lived hand to mouth. They see a magnificent banquet spread before them, as much as they wanted, and there was still all this left over. Look at that, brothers and sisters, in the light of your need. God will supply. We just have to ask according to his will. He's showing us how deep is his love for us. Put your trust in him. May God abundantly bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.